be here with you again today. I miss the people when they're not all here, and summers and winters, it seems like it's the case with people traveling. And so God bless you for being here, and those of you who are traveling elsewhere. In John chapter 11, we have the story of Lazarus dying and then being called out of the tomb, out of the grave. And entitled this morning, "Do You Believe This?" In the King James Version, it says, "Dost thou believe this?" Believest thou this? What it says in the King James. And so I realize that all of us know this story very well. It's one of those stories that we remember from way back in summer Bible school or wherever it was. And it's not something new. And so my prayer was, God, what can we glean from this that would propel us, would draw us closer to you? And I felt like I was just going to take 10 of the things that Jesus said and just highlight those. And first, I have something between my thumb and my finger. Can you see what that is? Anyone, can you see it? Maybe y'all getting a little bit harder to see like I am. Lincoln, can you see what's in my hand? Still can't see it. It's a pin, yeah. If I was to drop this on the floor, do you think we could be quiet enough to where we can hear it hit the floor? Probably not in here because of the carpeting. But you've all heard the quote, "You could hear a pin drop," right? We all know what that is. Something where everything is just so completely quiet and you hear something that you usually don't hear. And I remember when we were growing up, there was usually three of us brothers slept in the same room, same bed, my older two brothers, Dennis and Dwayne. And as young boys do, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, we were just laying in bed talking and so on before we'd fall asleep. And we heard something. And it became so quiet in the room. And we were all frozen underneath the covers and just pulled them up. Nobody wanted to find out what it was. And we fell asleep that way. I think that when Jesus spoke, it was as if it was so important and so amazing to the hearers that it just became so quiet that you could hear a pin drop. And this is no exception here. And a couple of the things that that kind of stood out to me when I read this account, it is the whole chapter. And it just seems like when Jesus spoke something, it was like, to me anyway, I would have felt like, wow, did he really just say that? Because it is so powerful and so potent that it just made you quiet. And I believe that all of us who have been walking with Christ long enough, there's moments when that happens to our soul. You can be at work, and you can be singing, if you're by yourself, at the top of your lungs, or you can be listening to some preaching, or you can be quoting scripture or something. And it's one of those moments when in your soul you could hear a pin drop, because this is some wonderful thing that just was revealed to me. This rhema from God, this revealed word, revelation. And you just hear it. And it's so special. And this was no different here when Mary and Martha were concerned about their brother who was sick. I want to put this pin back into my paper so I don't lose it. I don't want to put it in my pocket. Let's go to John chapter 11. And what I want to really emphasize on is what Jesus said, the words of Jesus. And I have 10 quotes here that I want to go down here through here this morning and talk a little bit about them. One of the things that I really wanted to zero in on is when Jesus said, "Do you believe this?" when he was talking to Martha. Okay, verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" And verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." That's the first one that I want to notice here and talk a little bit about. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." Okay, now sometimes when you read scripture, and I noticed this in this particular section or in this chapter, that it seems like there's something contradictory. If you look at verse 14, Jesus said, "Lazarus is not dead." But in verse 4, he said, "This sickness is not, will not end in death." That looks like a contradiction to me, pretty plain and obvious. But if we look at it a little closer and we do a little bit of the word study of death and dead, we find out that there's two different meanings, definition for them. But I saw that, first of all, I thought, well, why did Jesus say in verse 4 that this sickness that Lazarus has will not end up in death? And then in verse 14, he says to the disciples, and I'll read it. "So Jesus then said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" So the word, what he had in mind when he was saying this sickness is not to end in death, having to mean that this is not going to be a separation from me and Lazarus. But when he said that in verse 14 that Lazarus is dead, it means that the former in his natural body or his natural life has ended, but that spiritual life within him was very alive, as we will see. And I was thinking of this the other day after I had read it, and I walked from the house, our house, to the shop where I have my truck, and there is a patch of grass, because it's not been raining that much, that has turned completely brown. And then there was surrounding grass that was green. I'm not sure why that area is always the first to notice it when the grass is brown. But if you look at grass that's brown, you think, it's dead. It looks dead, has the appearance of, you know, just no life. But when you put water on it, it becomes green. So it really wasn't dead. But what was former, as far as the natural-looking stuff, had died. But underneath and in the heart and the soul of the grass seed, it was still alive. In verse 5, I noticed something here that really stood out to me with what Jesus did. And I already read it, and Jesus had found out about Lazarus was sick. And they call on Jesus. Remember, the sisters said, "Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick." They didn't say, "Come in a hurry, come quickly." They just assumed that if Jesus finds out that their brother's sick, that he'll just come. But what did Jesus do? When he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days. And I had to wonder, let me ask this question. Does that sound pastoral? Does that sound like something a good shepherd would do? No, it doesn't really. And in the previous chapter here in chapter 10, when Jesus was talking in verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." In verse 14 in chapter 10, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." So in finding out, in our setting here, for me to find out as a pastor that someone is sick, has went to the hospital, I almost immediately leave what I'm doing. I go see them, or if there's a death, everything changes. I call Sarah and I say, we've got to go. We got to go now. And we usually do. But Jesus here was completely opposite of that. He found out that Lazarus was really sick. And he stayed 2 more days at the place where he was at. And if that happens to us when we pray to Jesus and we're asking him for something and it doesn't happen, or we don't get an answer to prayer, we're in a tight spot. We need help here, Jesus. And it seems like nothing comes. The first, kind of commonly with me anyway, I begin to think, well, does Jesus love me? Is God on? Is he for me? I'm sick. I need help. My leg's broken or something. I need healing right away. And he doesn't come. Does that sound like a good shepherd? I call that delayed love. His delay is born of love and is a token of his tender care. It is exactly the opposite of what we think as humans. We think, well, God is, he's not listening to me. He doesn't love me. The opposite is actually true. God does love us. Hard times are lengthened for the same reason they were sent, to aid in bending us toward him. If you stay in the prayer and you pray every day for whatever it is you would want an answer for or healing, that is drawing yourself to him, and that's what love does. It draws us. In the majority of cases, time is an element in its working its right effect upon us. If the wind is shortened, the wheat becomes straight again. But a continuum of it bends it permanently. And we all see, we have farmers around us. We see wheat fields sometimes a week or two or a month before it's ready to harvest. That it becomes, during that time, there's usually spring rains and winds. And if it's a wind that just comes and goes, the wheat will bend and come back. But when it's a continuous wind and strong, it goes flat and it never comes back up. But God is the soft wind, and he bends us toward him all the time and keeps doing that. You have to soak foul things in water for a good while before the pure liquid washes out the stains. This is the delayed love that we experience a lot of times. If we would all think more frequently of hard times as discipline and schooling instead of pain and burden, we would sooner understand the meaning of things better and face them with braver hearts, with joyful patience and endurance. Therefore, love must delay its coming. It must do that. And yet the delayed is always right on time. It always is. And Jesus here, as you'll see, when it was time to go, he said, we're going to go. Now it's time to go. We're not going to wait any longer. And we go back to verse 20 now and pick up the story there. In verse 20 it says, Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. That's another thing that I wanted to. It's one of those things where it seems to me you would just stop and say, what did he say? It's like a pin drop and everything's quiet. And you say, he told us that your brother's going to rise again. And it seems like Martha here had a pretty good amount of confidence in who Jesus was, because she said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. She assumed and had so much confidence in Jesus. If he would have came, everything would have been all right, and it would have. I don't know if he would have healed him right away or how that would have happened, but Martha had the confidence that everything would have been okay. And she said, even now, I know that, in other words, what she was saying, I know that if you ask him to come out of that tomb behind that big stone, I know he would. Because she said, whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And then it seemed like Martha maybe showed a little bit of a crack in her confidence in Christ, because she says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And so what did Jesus say? Here's another pin drop. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And the test came. And I believe either right before or after these two verses, it was quiet. Even if it's for a second in our soul, when it's a quiet moment, it is so huge and potent. And Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here. He's calling for you. And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Do you believe this? And it's the question that we have. And it's more than just a mental assent. It's more than just mentally saying, yeah, I believe. Particularly for those of us who've grown up in a home where this was taught. And it's easy for us to just have a mental agreement, in other words, to say, yeah, I believe in God. But when God becomes more to you than just a word, it has entered your heart. And it has, you begin to believe it more than just mentally assent to it. Okay, verse 34 is another quote that Jesus said I would like to bring out. This was after Jesus had found out that he had actually, Lazarus was in the tomb, and or he had found out that he died, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And then Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Yes, he could have. And I like all verse 38 as well. He said, Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And it says something about Jesus here. Even the way he moved, even the way I believe that he walked and not only navigated like within the personalities of people and giftings of those, but as he actually physically walked, there was something about him that made people stop and think, I believe it was. Just the way his demeanor was. And verse 39 is one of those quotes, and he says, remove the stone. Verse 40, we'll go down through here. And he said, well, Martha was saying, well, you know, by now there's probably a stench because it's been 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? There was about 10 or 11 times when the word believe is in this chapter. And in the whole book of John, the word believe is used a lot. And so I think the writer John was emphasizing the point of our need to believe in Christ, to believe by faith, to believe. And so Jesus is asking her, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? A lot of times we do it in reverse. We want to see the great manifestations. We want to see the great things that happen, and then we say, oh, wow, I do believe there is a God. And yet it's the opposite in the kingdom of God. We believe, and then we see. So they removed the stone in verse 41. And Jesus had that prayer. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, and he was wearing this, I assume, white cloth around him. He was completely covered, wrapped with a cloth, and his face, and he walked out of the grave. After they removed the stone, they rolled the stone away. But you know, it's the same. I believe it's the same as when Christ rose from the dead. The stone wouldn't have had to been rolled away. But they did that so we can see that he has come out. And in this case as well, I think Lazarus could have came right out through the stone. I believe that. And then Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. In the King James Version, I believe it says, loose him, let him go. Take that stuff off of him that is around him, that is keeping him bound. Take that off. And don't put any more on him. He doesn't say that. But he just says, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Hallelujah. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. And then the rest of the chapter talks about the conspiracy that followed in trying to get rid of Jesus because of the things he was doing, the following that he was beginning to have. And the Pharisees, the chief priests, the council, they could hardly know how to deal with that except to get rid of him. Unbind him and let him go. In closing, I will ask you this. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe this? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you believe this? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Do you believe this? Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Do you believe this? I go to prepare a place for you. Do you believe this? Where I am, there shall also my servant be. Do you believe this? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you believe this? And I'm asking you, Martha's answer was, yes, I believe. I have believed, she said, that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. If your answer is the same as Martha's, then you are as she is, was, and is. You're born again. You are a believer. If you believe this, please stand. God, I thank you for your word this morning, particularly those that are in red. Jesus, you are our only hope in this dark world where there is so much falseness. So much of the opposite of who you are is so rampant and is so skillfully set around us that we are tempted and prone to fall and take a wrong step. But God, today, we believe this. We believe you. Amen. And you may be seated. Dave, will you close?